Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves, they probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth, this we've been under rust. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours for sure. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce to show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice to show us how to take it.
Take it.
Okay, Coach, can you hear me a little better? I got a little echo. Let me get rid of the echo. All right, so there we go. So hopefully that comes across a little better. Switched my mics. I switched over, and hopefully got a little better sound. If you guys, somebody could text me, kind of let me know if that sounds any better. Hopefully that does so that we can continue with today's message. Brothers and sisters, what we're talking about basically with the last show today, we just want to wrap it up. And today we want to wrap up talking about how, okay, I've got a thumbs up saying that sounded just a little better. Well, thanks there, Sister Ella. So when we're talking about understanding how we see, we can only see or we can only be what we see. So the inability to see is what limits or traps or encapsulates our worth and our value. That means we've all been victimized. Everybody. You've victimized somebody yourself, and you've been somebody's victim. Most people are like me. They don't wake up in the morning and decide to go and persecute someone. Most people, they are doing what they were taught. They were doing what they see. They are doing what they've seen. I experienced abuse, verbal abuse. So I grew up and I committed verbal abuse, experienced child abuse. I grew up and then I continued or administered child abuse. My father beat me, I beat my children. Hopefully my children will not beat their children. Somebody somewhere has to stop the cycle of abuse. We already did the show on the cycle of abuse. It is a vicious cycle that is only instituted by a lack of worth and value. The only way to get out of the cycle of abuse and get into the cycle of success is for you to see. We allow people to treat us the way that we treat ourselves. Your energy, your confidence, your attitude is your currency. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Your energy is your currency. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Your ability to respond is your currency. The moment that I realize that if I continue to respond to events that's happening outside of me, I will never have a dime in my pocket. One thing destroyed my wealth. That one thing was the inability to control my attention. So when I realized that having a bunch of women, being promiscuous, maintaining or having a bunch of adulterous affairs, that was money. When that came on, I had no problem with adultery after that. When I realized that every time I responded to an event that happened outside of me, I was taking money from inside of me. Attention is not free. You have to pay for it. That's why the word pay attention, the word pay always comes before the word attention. When I realized that if I was paying attention to you, that means that I was not paying attention to me. When I realized that every time somebody said, "Hey, Will," and I looked at them, I was looking away from me. Now, I would like for you to test my theory. I would like for you to go somewhere and tell somebody to stand across the street and call your name. When they call your name, you're going to turn and look at them. And I want you to see if you can look left while also looking right. I want you to try that out. I want you to try out and see if you can look forward and look backwards at the same time. Test out my theory. See if what I'm saying is true. Try while you're driving. I would like for you, while driving forward, turn around and look backwards. Keep your foot on the gas. I might want to videotape that so I can put it on World Star Hip Hop. Because you see, brothers and sisters, that dog does not hunt. Attention flows. Energy goes where attention flows. Wherever your attention is at, your energy is at. So if you're putting your attention on the events that's happening outside of you, you cannot have your attention on the revelation that's going on inside of you. Inside revelation should override outside demonstration, but it does not. Because you see more worth and value, not you, but people that you know, you see more worth and value on shizness that's going on outside of you instead of the God-given revelation that God is expounding upon inside of you. Now, after 50-plus years of making that mistake, I know a little something about that. so the number one, as we talked about, first of all, you have to listen to part one and part two, because if you don't, then you don't know none of the definitions that we already talked about in part one and part two. So you think worth and value has to do with what everybody else thinks worth and value has to do. You think worth and value is something that you get. You think worth, not you, but people that you know, think worth and value is something that you can improve upon. You don't know that the worth, your worth and value, as we've already defined it by the word worth, and the word which means relative value. And the word worth means relative. The word relative means blood association. The word relevant, the word relative means little disposition. The word relative means the micro of the macro. The word relative means son. Now, see, I'm a son of God. I don't know about you. I'm a royal priest. I don't know about you. I'm a holy nation. I don't know about you. I'm a saint. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm glorified. I'm not your boy. I'm not your toy. I'm not other. I'm not a nigger. I'm not another, no other derogatory term or label that you or somebody that you might know would like to put up on me. The shizness doesn't apply to me because I choose not to respond. I choose. As we talked about in part one and part two, the mistake that most people make, they respond. The moment you respond, you then form a bond. The moment that you respond, you form a bond. That bond is a psychological bond. That bond is an emotional bond. That bond is a demonstrative bond. That's a soul tie. You are signing a contract the moment that you respond. When you react, you enact. When you react, whatever you react to, you enact. Re means to return. Act means drama or play. The moment that you add energy to somebody else, you join their play, that means you must leave yours. You must put aside your will, and you're aligning yourself. You signed a contract to be a part of Jim Bob's play. Now Jim Bob owns you by legal right. The devil has, now the devil goes to God and he says, oh God, he signed a contract with me. And God honors his word above his own name. And since you are a little version of a bigger version, God will honor your word. When you say, well, man, I'm a loser, God says, damn, my son thinks he's a loser. The devil comes up to, hey, oh God, he said he's a loser. He used your word. You said you're going to use the foolishness of preaching to salve, to save. So if you take what God has given you, God gave you that power. You are the only entity that can do this, what I'm doing right now. Use your vocare, your voice, your frequency, your wave, your vibration to establish, to provoke, and to invoke, to use grammar or grammar, to do beaming, to call those things that are not as though they were. You have that power, my brother. You are a co-creator with the creator. And unfortunately, we don't understand our power. And so we take our power, we destroy ourselves by signing contracts that are outside of ourselves. And you're signing these contracts. These are vibrational contracts that keep you trapped inside this dimension. That makes you a daimon. Di means D-I-A, which means day. Moon means moon. It is the day moon. That you call the sun. And unfortunately, you're under the power of the cosmogrator. And we all unknowingly give away our worth and our value because we attach ourselves to our own words or to the words of men instead of the word of God. Now, see, last I checked, I don't know about you, but I pride myself on aligning myself with the power of myself. That's what worth and value means. As we said before, value means valiant. Valiant means bold. It means, again, the ability to refer to a power larger than yourself. Refer. So I refer to the worth giver. So remember, it's whose you are, not who you are. So I'm not asking you. You get your worth and your value from whose, W-H-O-S-E, whose you are. So the question is, who's your daddy? Whose? Who? Whose you are determines whose you are, who you are. Who you are determines what you are. What you are determines what you do. What you do determines what you have. So I can see, I can look at what you have. I look outside. I would like for you to look around and just look at what you have. Though, again, let's go from the bottom up. Number three, and then we're going to go two and one, which we've already discussed. Number three, what do you have? Now, most people tell me, well, Brother Will, I got three cars in my driveway, homie. I got my 401k. I'm retired. I like when men get together. Like, you ever go to church men's meeting? At first thing they say, when they sit down, what do you do? When men, that's how, you know, that's how we establish the pecking order. Women, are you married? How many kids you got? Women talk about their families. Men talk about their finances. Men establish our ranking order by our titles, our job. Right now, if that was a group of men, and everybody stood up and introduced themselves by what they do, whoever was the CEO of the biggest company, that guy, everybody would talk to them on the break. And whoever is the sanitation engineer, whoever is the janitor, whoever works at McDonald's, that guy would be a leper. Nobody would talk to him. Don't believe me? Try it. Try it. Just go to a group. Next time you're at a meeting and a bunch, even if you don't, and somebody asks you what you do, just tell them I work the fry bin at McDonald's. Watch the look on everybody's face, men. And women, if you're an older woman and you've never been married and you ain't got no children and you and your group with all of your female friends and they ask you, y'all start talking and say, you married? Say, no, I'm not married. Even if you are, just say it. No, I'm not married. Oh, you got any children? No, I never have any children. Watch the look on the other woman's face as they slowly move away from you like you got a disease. Don't believe me? Try it. Triple day to try it. I like just going to meetings and just make up shiznit. What do you do? Oh, man, I'm unemployed. I'm homeless. And watch the dudes look. And then they all slowly move away from you. Why? You ain't got no worth and no value. Why? Society determines worth and value different from God. So when I say, what do you have? I ain't talking about shiznit. I'm not talking about society's definition of worth and value. I'm talking about the biblical. I'm talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about the Ruach. I'm talking about the Numa. So worth and value is spiritual attributes, or what I call spiritual currency. So when I say, what do you have? This is how I establish my worth and my value. It's based upon spiritual currency. So spiritual money is different from earthly money. Spiritual money is called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you might want to look it up, but it goes something like this. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, but I decided to test this theory out. That's why I talk about love without ownership. Because I've experienced it, and I've been on both sides of the coin, and I know that this dog hunts. So the thing that transcends time, that is outside of space, and is outside of mass and matter, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So when I say, how do you see your worth and value, can you see love? Now, when you go, when I worked in a prison, this is how I knew I was different from everybody else. Because they wanted volunteers to work in the Supermax because they had mandatory overtime because they didn't have enough people. Because everybody that went to work at the Supermax, they got, you know, AIDS-infested feces thrown on them. They got urine thrown in their face or in their mouth. They got hit in the back of the head with plates, like 45-pound metal plates. One of my classmates I saw when they took off the whole back of his skull when he walked into the rec room and the inmates jumped him. So they had a problem with finding people to work in the Supermax. And it was interesting because when I volunteered and I remember telling my family, and they thought I was like a little, you know, because I had always told them when I worked in the regular system, how the money in the Supermax was great because it was mandatory overtime. You got double the amount of money that is working in the regular penitentiary. And I volunteered, and I remember the first day going into the Supermax versus working in the penitentiary in Mexico, then versus working in the Supermax. Well, everybody there had 3, 4, 5 life sentences. So in prison, you cannot afford, you cannot have the luxury of what, you know, what we call fear. That's why I don't do fear. That's why I learned how to get rid of fear by working in a supermax. See, in fear, it's like sprinkling blood in an ocean full of sharks. And fear is interesting. It's not something that you think. Like most people think fear is like, no, fear is a lack of worth and value in the prison. See, in a prison system, you can't fake it. See, in prison, everybody's real. That's why I think everybody should go visit a prison or maybe spend some time in there, because then you will see in the prison, that's the truth. That's like being in the spirit realm. Nobody's fake in prison because everybody calls your bluff in prison. See, in real life, I can walk up to you on the street and I could punk you. I could look at you. I could mean mug you, and you will cross the street. In prison, nobody crossed the street. In prison, everybody looks you in the eye. In prison, if you say you're a gangster, they want to see your gangsterness. In prison, nobody cares about what you say. In prison, nobody cares about what you think or feel. In prison, only people care about is how you are, authenticity. In prison, everybody's authentic. In prison, everybody's naked. In prison, there ain't no fake and there ain't no phonies. In prison, if you're a thug, then you prove it every day, because every day your thugness is challenged. If you're a punk in prison, you prove it every day, because every day they're going to bend you over and they're going to grease you down. Every day. So every day you living your true life now, your best life now in prison. Ain't no fakes in prison. So when you go to prison, either if you the man in prison, every day there's somebody that's going to test your manhood. And every day you better prove you the man. If not, you ain't the man. In prison, there is none of this shizness that's out here in the real world. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was working in the prison. I learned more. I would trade. I would challenge any PhD, any reverend, Dr. Bishop. See, people think that they saved, go to prison. That's how you know you saved. See, when you go to prison, you know that if you got the real God or not. Because, see, fear in prison, there's none of this fake fear. There's no feelings in prison. In prison, people walk through people in prison. In prison, they end lives in prison. UP people, death is in prison. There's a vibe in prison that doesn't exist outside. I can't even explain it. And you have to go there. I try to put it in the words, and that you can't put in words. So in prison, you have to have something called, I'm going to put it this way. You have to have something called righteous indignation in prison. In prison, you have to have a mental disposition that says, I am going home today. In prison, before you walk through those walls and the doors slam behind you, you have to have worth and value. See, true worth and true value doesn't come from you. True worth and true value is a mental disposition that comes from the big G that's not on this planet. You see, the little G runs this planet. And so in prison, there's different levels. Now, again, you just go to Google and type this in. You just type in the demonic hierarchy. That's how prison works, just like in the military. The military rank structure is almost identical to the demonic rank structure. I wonder if that's just by accident. I'm just saying. In law enforcement, you know, we have captains, we have lieutenants, we have sergeants, we have corporals. You know what the definition of what corporal is? Or sergeant? And what about private? See, in all of these terms, see, nobody looks into the terms, into the definitions. That's just me. I'm just a little touched like that. But in prison, I had to come up with a system, because I knew one thing. I was going home that night. I walked in. They said, Raj, you're not going home today, homie. They would tell me every day, today's your day, Raj. Today's your day. What they was telling me is the day was the day that they was going to cancel my ticket. And so every day when they told me today's your day, Raj, you know what I told them? I looked them in the eye and I told them today's your day. If I go, I'm taking you with me. So every day it was a game. It was a mental game to see who had the mental fortitude to see who was going to punch whose ticket. Now, most people can't even relate to that environment. Do you do that every day? I don't think so. Nobody that I know walks around with a mental disposition that I have. My mental disposition is different from everybody else. Now, that's not because I'm better than. That's only because I've had something called experience. See, my worth and value comes from a place that is not on this earth. My worth and value comes from a God that is not on this earth. My worth and value comes from the big G. Light came in the darkness, and darkness perceived it not. Jesus says we are pilgrims passing through. Jesus said, I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. Jesus said, if they told him, hey, you're the king of the Jews, why don't you come off this cross, save yourself, and save us too? He said, if I want to, I could call it on the legions of angels. But, hey, I'm here doing a job, and then I'm out. Jesus knew that this plan, this was a prison plan. So if you don't know that, then you get your worth and value from the plan. You get your worth and value from the God of the plan. You get your worth and value from what Cain got his, from two balls and a cane. That's called sex. That's called a male genitalia. Cainism is gainism. The mark of Cain is gain. Now, I know this is probably contrary to your theology, but let me understand. There was no such thing as city states until Cain. Abel, notice, why did God accept Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's? One did one thing, one did another. And without that ability, then you don't understand, where did Abel, even the name Abel, why was he able? He was able because of something that is very touched, very difficult. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but the one thing about Calvin is he has his 5 points of Calvinism, and one of the points which is very controversial is, you know, in his tulip theory is this thing that's called irresistible or undeniable or overpowering grace. Now, see, if God be for you, who can be against you? Now, I'm trying to help you see what I have. If you can't see that you have this, then you're in deep chemistry. See, what I have, a lot of people don't see. I have something that other people can't see. What is that? It's something called grace. It's something called unmerited favor. Now, see, last time I checked, you might want to look at the definition yourself. Unmerited, it means you can't do shiznits to get it. Now, I know this is contrary to your theology. You are a human getting, not you, but somebody that you know. You still believe the Roman Catholic bishops that say that there is a hoop that you must jump through in order to you to be saved. See, I know because I violated every scripture because I was an angry little dude. And I set out to violate those scriptures. I did a damn good job of it. Guess what I got back? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. When I went to prison, and the inmates looked me in the eye, and they told me, Negro, they use other choice words, spirit chunker, and everything, you're not going home today. Your children, they will go up without a father. And it was 90 of them. And one of me, and all I had was a set of keys and a radio. It was 3 tiers, 30 inmates on each tier, and one guard, that was me. And as I was walking around, it was a chess match to see which door they was going to pop out of with the urine that was in AIDS infested, with the feces, with a pipe bomb, with a black tar. With one inmate was butt naked, greased down in Vaseline from head to toe. You ever got in an altercation with somebody that was covered in Vaseline from head to toe? Let me tell you how it goes. When you grab them, nothing happens. You can't grab them. They ain't got no hair. Now, I want you to try to imagine, what are you going to do when they can grab you and you can't grab them? So you have to have a disposition, brothers, that says this. You can't touch me because God has prayed for me. Now, God told Peter, see, the devil desires to shift you as weak, but I have prayed for you. What did Peter do? He did nothing. What did God do? He prayed. Now, see, I'm a different type of, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I'm not even a Christian or Christian. I have an understanding that I am part of the agathon. That means benevolent. That means that there is something called grace and mercy. And so God said, everyone that I put in his hands, I'm not going to lose any of them. That's what Jesus said. He said, everyone that the Father has given me, I ain't losing one of them. There's something that says in the scripture that says that unless the Father, unless the Spirit draw you, you can't come. Without that understanding, you do not have worth and value. What does that mean? That means if you think that God, that you chose God and God didn't choose you, you're in trouble. That means it depends on you. That means that you are powerful, you are all-knowing, and you are present. Last I checked, you are limited by this thing called a body. So it is this misnomer that you are gods without understanding the definition of gods. Now, as I've said in my book, being God, it means being love because God is love. So I am saying I am being the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not saying that I am being the 10 omnis that I have in my book, The Standard. See, most people think God consists of three omnis. There are 10, brother. You got three. What about the other seven? I've never heard a Reverend Dr. Bishop talk about the other seven. There's 10 omnipresence or omnis that make up the agathon. So you got a watered-down version of the original. If you go to prison with that one, you ain't coming home. See, in prison, you got to be original. You can't be fake. So wherever you are in prison, you better be that. It doesn't matter what you are, but they ask you, as soon as you get there the first day, they ask you, what are you here for? What they're saying is, who are you? Now, if you lie, and if you say in prison, now, see, prison is the exact same thing in the spirit realm. Because in prison, there's real devils in there. There ain't no fake, watered-down imps in prison. In prison, there are ruling dispositions. There are viceroys. In prison, there are men who eat men. I see it with my own eyes. In prison, there are men who will turn you, if you think you're a man, in prison, they will turn you into a female. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen one man get jumped by 20 men. I don't care how strong you are, how bad you are, you ain't whooping 20 men. Unless greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So strange things happen because that's the real world. So you must have something that is bigger than you. The definition of the word, as we've already established, worth and value, is the ability, again, to see what you have. Number one, if you can't see what you have or what has you, whose are you? Who's your daddy? Now, your blood type determines your God type. Thankfully, according to John 10:10, regardless of the blood type, there's something called the water type. Notice flesh and blood cannot enter into the heavens. You must be born of the water and the spirit. Notice nobody on earth can tell you where water comes from. Water in Genesis 1 was already chill when God got chill. Don't believe me? Go back to Genesis 1. It says the spirit hovered over the deep. It spoke into the deep and bam, light. What is water? What is water? It is H2O. What is H? There's only one element on the periodic table, one. All of the other 117 are manipulation of the one. The devil can manipulate, but he cannot create. He cannot create hydrogen. He can create hydra, but he can't create hydro. Hydra, multi-headed snake. Hydro. If you could wrap your brain around what you have, now what you got to go get. See, if you can't see what you have, you are born of the water, just like it says in Genesis 1. The spirit hovered over the water, spoke into the water. I just did the science of it called photon, light, injected into water, which is mass. Photon injected into mass. I just did a 7-hour series on photon injection. I just gave you the physics of your salvation, of your beingness. Using physics, no Bible needed. But if you don't see what I just talked about 7 hours, and if you can't see number two, what I'm getting ready to talk about in the next series, for 7 hours I'm going to explain to you the physics of it. See, I can use physics to prove what I got. Now, if you can't see that, if you cannot see that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, if you can't see that, when you go to prison, you don't come out. The word prison is the word prism. So God put me in prison to teach me the prism. Now, I know that may be contrary to your theology, but every day I went to prison, and I was dodging urine-infested feces, AIDS-infected urine, and feces, and pipe bombs, and smoke bombs, and traps to try to punch my ticket. And how did I know? I don't know. I just knew. I just knew, don't let this dude out. I just, no matter how much he kicked and screamed, or how much he threatened, how much he did that, I just knew that that guy, as I was escorting him back from his visitation, I just knew he was going to try to take me. I just knew it. And so when I walked, I always walked behind to the right, so that as soon as he turned, I already knew what I was going to do. I already knew, because why? The Ruach told me in advance, that dude's going to take your life today. Therefore, choke his ass out. I knew. I already knew in advance because of whose. What did I do? Did I have any special training? How did I get my discernment? How much did I pay for it? Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Can I take credit for it? No. When they said, Rod, how did you should do that anyway, man? He's three times bigger than you. What did you do? I had an advantage. Oh, you had better training? Nope. Yeah, I didn't. Nope, I had God on my side. Also, you prayed, you did 30 Hail Marys, you fasted, you tithed. What did you do? Nothing. So you didn't do nothing? Nope, I did nothing. I just knew. How did you know? I had the indwelling spirit. I was born with it. When I was six, I already knew. But I didn't believe. I didn't see. Everybody, you know, because you have something in your heart called a conscience. And you know when you do wrong, your conscience tell you, why are you doing that? You ignore your conscience, and you keep going. That is the ruling disposition, talking to you, pulling on the strings of your heart. What did you do? How much did you pay for your conscience? See, I've met grown men who don't have that. And they asked me, how can I get it? And I told them, if God don't give it to you, bro, ain't nothing I can do. I can, no matter how much oil I slap upside your forehead, know how much you fast and pray, there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Now, that's a hard teaching. I've come to understand the true destiny of mankind because I know that there is different dispensations. There's different times that people come around, if you want to use that term. That's why I don't cast my pearls amongst swine any longer. That's why when I go to somebody's house and I knock on the door and if they receive me not, I shake the dust off my feet and I keep on. Now I've got out of the salvation business. I know it's not my job anymore. See, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, I used to go and pray and fast and go and beg and plead somebody, brother, you know, I love you, blah, blah, blah. That dog does not hunt. For it is God who wills in me both to will and to do. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology, but once you get to the demonic realm, when you get to prison, when you get to the PRISM, there, fake, it doesn't work. You can't fake the funk there. You have to know. You have to have worth and value. You have to know where your strength comes from. You have to know what you have. I know I have the biggest gun in the fight. So when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I don't fear no evil. This is how I know that you don't know what I know. Because you have something called concern. Somebody show up into my house right now and say, hey, man, we're going to take you to the FEMA camp. I have no concern. Because if God wanted me in there, I don't think the three Hebrew boys was concerned when they threw them in the fiery furnace. Why? They know what I know. I don't think Daniel was concerned when they put him in a lion's den. Now, were they human? Sure. Was there like, oh, why is this happening to me? Absolutely. But then there's a still small voice inside of them that says something like, yo, come on, man. Do you remember back? See, I can think back when I was a little boy and I was hungry. Sister X wasn't giving us no food, how magically people came to our house and gave us food. I remember all the times when my back was up against the wall, I came through. A lot of people don't have those experiences. I got tons. We'd be talking for 3 to 4 hours. The biggest one, I remember I was stationed in Hawaii. My little brother was back home in Texas. He was didn't have a place to stay. My big brother had kicked him out. For some reason or another, I don't know. And I remember going to them and telling him, hey, I need to go back home, man. I need to get my brother. Or I need to bring him over here. Say, you can't bring your brother over here. He's not a dependent. I said, well, make him a dependent. We can't do that. And I told him, I got to go back and get my brother. He said, you ain't leaving here. You're a Marine. You got to stay here. And I said, dude, I am leaving unless you bring my brother up here. And I'm over there with that's you got to put in a humanitarian request. They call it a humanitarian transfer. I put it in. I'm in a four-star general. The commanding general on the base says no. And I remember walking out as I was stationed at Camp Smith in Hawaii. And there's a big cross in Camp Smith. If you've ever been to Hawaii, you know what I'm talking about. Right over the stadium, there's this big cross. And I remember walking out on that field, and I remember saying, God, I can't abandon my brother. I need your help. And I remember getting a call. They called me to the office, and they said, who the hell is blankety blank, some senator, something I didn't even know, knew my mother, who knew me, and who saw a request come across a desk to transfer because of my brother. Long story short, I got transferred out of Hawaii that week, and I was gone. And I can go on and on and on about all of the stories of how when my back was up against the Red Sea, God opened the Red Sea, and I walked across on dry land. Not just on land, dry land. That's because of one thing, what I have. What do I have? A knowing system. What do I know? I know that if God be for me, who can be against me? The second thing I have is a doing system. What are you doing? If you're not doing this, you're in trouble. When I walked into a prison, every day before I went into prison, I did this. I set my intention. If you do not do this, you do not have a relationship with the big G. You have a relationship, but I don't know who it's with. It's not something that it's, you don't go into the room. You don't face the ink. You don't need no damn prayer cloth, no prayer rug. You don't need no holy water. You don't need nobody to lay hands on you. You don't need no special cloth. You don't need no special wardrobe. You don't need no special anything. All you need is one thing. That is, you need to set your intention. That's called a ruling disposition. Every day that I went to work inside the prison represents the prism. This is a prism. When you shine white light, if you don't believe me, look at the physics of it. Look at science. Science says if you take white light and you shine it through a triangle, which is a prism, it bends it and it creates hue or color. And that's the electromagnetic spectrum. That's what the only thing you can see. You cannot see the other 99%. That means this shit is not real. This is an illusion. So I knew that prism was an illusion. I knew it wasn't real, and I knew everybody was faking the funk, but they was faking the funk, they was authentically their ego. Why? They got oppressed. Remember what we talked about yesterday? In order for you not to see your worth and value, number one, you had to go through some type of oppression, cruel, harsh, unjust treatment. Number two, you had to depress, a lowering of your mental state to make room for another one. And then number three, you had to be possessed. That means another ruling disposition came in and possessed, took up the space that was created by your disposition being lowered. That happens to everybody. So now your entity makes you go. Your entity goes. And so that's you. So you're presenting yourself to me. That's not you. But my discernment lets me know that that's not you. So when I walked in the prison and the dudes came up to me, I knew it wasn't them. I knew that they was possessed because they were depressed, because they were oppressed. And so I talked to them about what happened to them when they was a kid. They tell me about how they got raped. They tell me about how they've been on their own since they was eight. They tell me about how they got abused. They told me about how somebody got molested them. How this didn't happen. So I cut through all of that outer shell, the ego, and I went straight through and I spoke to the disposition. And I saw that ruling disposition. And I recognized it because the same shit has happened to me. And then it was easy to see that ruling disposition. That's what I do. So I do the same thing now, I just get paid for it. Now I get paid to help you identify your negative habit pattern. And when you identify that negative habit pattern, notice what I said on yesterday, you have to call it by name. And remember the word we talked about, it means to read, where we get the word, again, in the Greek, we get the word arithmetic, or arithmos, which really means read, which really means to study for understanding, not study to pass. That's why in elementary school, they teach you how to pass tests. They don't teach you how to understand. You study to pass tests. Once you pass the test, do you remember anything you studied? No. Why? Elementary school. Elementary. Who is the L God of mentalism? His name is T-H-O-T-H. So you learn his system. You learn God's system. God said in his word, study to show yourself approved unto God, not man. You've been studying to prove yourself unto man. Pass the test. I learned just enough to get a C in all my classes in school. If you ask me anything that I studied in school, I can't remember nothing because I just memorized Shiznit so that I could pass a freaking test. Now, what do I do now, brother? What do I do now? I don't study to pass tests because I want to achieve a goal. I study because I want clarity, crystal clear clarity. That's why I would take on any reverend, any doctor, any bishop, on any day, on any planet, at any time, because I know no man will outwork me. Or you may be smarter than me. You may be taller than me. You may have more money than me. You may have more muscles than me. I'll be damn sure you ain't going to outwork me. Nobody on earth will outwork me because I don't study to pass no damn tests. I don't study to get man's approval. I don't study to try to impress anybody. I don't study because I want to be seen. I don't study because I want no damn Facebook likes. I study because the devil's in the details. I study so I can find the devil and expose him. That's why I study. Why do you study? See, it's a totally different what I do from what everybody else do. I don't study because I got a message to do on Sunday. That ain't why I'm studying. I study. I don't take no thought. You can ask my wife. I walk around here, do whatever I got to do. 5 minutes before the show, I jump on and I start the show. What's my notes? I don't got no notes. The Bible says, take no thought as to what you shall say. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. So when I get up to speak, I don't take no notes. All I have is a title that usually changes about 5 or 10 minutes before the show. That's what I do. That is worth and value. That has worth and value because it is spiritus. The word worship means the word work or worship. The way that you wage war with the enemy is to connect with God. How? Worth and value, which means the word worth means relative. That means that I'm a blood relative of the person that gives value. The word value means valiant. And the word valiant at the base, at the core, means the ability to read. And the word and ability, I mean, not the word ability to read, it means the ability to count numbers. And the numbers, as I talk about on my chart, again, all of this, as we talked about in part one and part two, when you see the numbers, again, the number one means what? Independent leader. Number two, peaceful phlegmatic. Number three, creative creator. Number four, stable worker. Number five, spiritual evangelist, freedom fighter. Number six, compassionate carer. Number seven, spiritual intellect. Number eight, pattern recognition, executive. Number nine, spiritual humanitarian, royalty. So every number has an attribute, a characteristic of God assigned to it. But do you know that? And you know you got 12 numbers based upon the four numbers that's made up of two numbers that leads to the third, I mean the number that's inside of the circle that makes the cross. But first, before you can do that, you got to deny your ego. You got to pick up your cross, and you got to follow him. But if you don't know what that means that your ego, the false you, is telling you to do something. You can't do that. You can, but that will not allow you to establish true worth and true value. So whoever gives you your worth and value, they can take your worth and value. So I decided to give my worth and value from the big G. So I found the numbers, and the numbers gave me an understanding, and the understanding, so I studied for understanding. What am I doing? I'm studying. What am I studying for? I'm not studying to get nothing. What is my goal? What is my goal, brother? And what is my role? What is my goal? My goal is crystal clear clarity, which leads to overwhelming confidence, establishes unearthly certainty. Clarity, competence, certainty. You can walk through any devil and demon with that. When you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you will fear no evil. If you have clarity, which gives you confidence, which gives you certainty. But where does it all start from? It starts with understanding. But understanding what? The kingdom of God is within. When you go within and you study, again, the attributes and characteristics that God placed inside of you, which is according to James 3, we have this treasure. I'm sorry, not James 3. James 3 says that all good gifts comes down from the Father of life. Those good gifts are called Christ, or phos in Greek, which is photon in English, which means package of light. Photon that has been injected into mass or matter. And last but not least, what we've already talked about, so we did it in reverse today. We did number three first. What do you have? You have, my brothers and sisters, an election. It is in Greek, it's called electos. E-L-E-K-T-O-S, electos. God chose you, you didn't choose him. Contrary to popular belief, you have that. What does that mean? You got an election. You got a calling. Make your election, make your calling sure. That's what the biblical says. That's what the Bible says. If you don't do that, you don't have that. So I know I've been called. I know the devil can't touch me unless God lets him. How do I know? Look at the book of Job. God told Job, where was you when I spun the stars and made the heavens? The devil says, your servant God. God told the devil, you don't use that term, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah. Only reason he's your servant is because you chose him. And God said, no, I don't think so. And the devil say, okay, let's test him. Why y'all think y'all on earth? Y'all are all modern-day Jobs. You are down here being tested. God got faith in you. You got faith in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, I got faith in God. Now, I didn't used to have faith in God, but God has proven himself faithful. So I know, same way Job knows, because the devil came and tested him. The devil's coming and testing you. That's why you're here. So number one thing, you got to know that. You got to know that God has already chosen you. God has already predestined you. God has already glorified you. God has already justified you. God has already sanctified you. If you don't know that, if you don't know, if you believe it, that dog does not hunt. When you go to prison, again, in prison, belief systems don't work. In prison, you have to know how to choke somebody out. You got to know it. In prison, you got to know how to do some Hapkido. You got to know some arm bars and some wrist locks. You got to know a little MMA in prison. If you don't know, if you got to, I think I know how to tap him out. If you don't, yeah, that dog doesn't hunt in prison. Because when you're fighting somebody 6'5 and you 5'5 and they 350 and you 150, yeah, you better know some shizness, bro. If not, you are not going home. So and this is a prison planet, in case you don't know. This is the devil's playground, in case you didn't know. So you have to know some spiritual judo, or judo, So that's what I teach. I teach spiritual judo. So you can understand, again, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against wickedness, against the darkness in high places. Do you know how to fight in the spirit realm? That's what I teach in the life management system, because it's not taught nowhere else. At least I can't find it taught. Everybody can tell you that what you should do, but nobody tells you how to do it. So the number one thing you have to do, you better know that you know that you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you don't know that, your dog will not hunt. Number two, what are you doing? You better know what you're doing. And what you should be doing is every day you should be setting your intention, because the outside invention is trying to interrupt your God-given intention. See, the outside stuff, everything that Donald Trump doing, the new, you know, pipe bombs and blowing up people's houses, oh, racism, oh, yeah, racism stuff, all of this is a distraction. So that way that small voice that's inside of you that's telling you what to do, you can't listen to it, because outside demonstration makes you feel something. And you're feeling it and you're responding. Now, since you, again, respond to the outside, you cannot respond to the inside. So you cannot take responsibility. You cannot respond to the ability. So you become a liability. You believe the lie about your ability. So then I can hand you a cap, and now you become handicapped. So you are handicapped. You're walking around with a limp. You got a spiritual limp. You shouldn't have one, but you got it. You're spiritually handicapped. There's a cap. I handed it to you. It was a lie. I told you you ain't got no ability. But you believe me. You believe the lie about your ability, so now you can't respond. And so I can bring, again, drama and trauma, which activates adrenochrome, which is the oxygen for the demonic realm. Demons can only exist in an environment where there is drama and trauma. That's why every animal is killed in a state of fear, so it can release adrenochrome. Adrenochrome is the mixing of adrenaline and fear. That's why everything you do is in a state of fear. That's why I don't do no freaking fear, man. Fear is the oxygen that feeds demons. That's why devils hang around anytime there's death and adrenaline. Look at the eyes of a livestock right before they die. Look at their eyes. What's in it? Fear. What's wrong? Demons. Demons love when you are in a state of fear. Why y'all think all of these reality shows, where they are, what are they doing? Every reality show. Drama, drama, drama produces trauma. Trauma-induced mind control. Trauma-produced mind control. Drama produces trauma and releases adrenaline. And fear produces adrenochrome. That's the oxygen for the demonic realm. That's why demons hang out at your house. Not you, but people that you know. And it is that, brother, that destroys number one. Who are you being? You are supposed to be God on earth. You are God's representative. The Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Therefore, you will no longer be a priest. Look at the definition of the word priest in the original text. It means representative. Who are you representing, homie? Who are you representing? You're supposed to be a representative of the Most High. Instead, we're representing the Most Low. I mean, not you personally, but somebody that you know. And it's this inability to connect with our true worth and our true value. So in conclusion, my brothers, in conclusion, my sisters, who you be, what you do, what you have is indication of your spirit, which has a soul, which manifests through a body, which is a further indication of your thoughts, which controls your feelings, which controls your actions. So once again, how do you see your worth and your value? How do you see? Number one, your thoughts. Now, the Bible has something to say about that. The Bible says, think on these things. If you are thinking on anything else other, and I already know you are, because I am. So my job is to be a thought inspector, exactly like the Bible says. Now, y'all know I talk a lot of crazy shizness about the Bible, but I was born at night. I just wasn't born last night. Trust me, everything I do comes from the Bible. Because even though they try to water down the Maserat Jews, took out the jots and tittles, according to Jeremiah 19:16, we have inherited lies from our fathers. Now, I know it's probably contrary to your theology, but it ain't contrary to mine. But I can see the lies because I've experienced them. Because all the people that misused and abused me, they had Bibles. Doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong. It means that somebody's interpretation of the Bible is wrong. So the Bible tells me something very specific. It tells me to think. That's the first thing. That's a 7-hour series because the way we think is flawed. So Philippians 4:8 tells me what to do, but every word is a 7-hour series. Every word. That's why I got almost 3,000 one-hour shows. That's why I got 50 books. Because the Bible is so rich. The Bible tells us that if we want the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, if we want God to guard our hearts and our minds while we are in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. Notice what it says. This is how you see worth. Peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. And it guards my heart and my mind as long as I'm in. Like I said, count how many times, how many scriptures can you find in the Bible that says in Christ Jesus? How many? How many times does the Bible tell you to be in Christ? I already counted 225 times. So you mean to tell me if God took the time to mention something 225 freaking times, it ain't important? I don't know about y'all. I'm only in one place. But see, the problem is the devil is not stupid. He knows you don't know what Christ means. Notice it doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Christ Jesus. That means that the title comes before the position comes before the name. Now, sometimes it says Jesus Christ. That means that the name comes before the title. So if you know the difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ, you indeed kimchi. So it says your mind's in Christ. That's the messianic office. That first is one in that office with the power, dunamis power. Where do I get my dunamis power? From my dunamis office. So the question again is, do you got an office? And do you know what it is? Because then Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything of excellence or praiseworthy, think on these things. So it tells us specifically what to think. So my thoughts, which are based upon Philippians 4:8, establishes my feeling. If you come to me with a feeling that's not from Philippians 4:8, I do not respond. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. There's a lot of feelings out there. They're all valid. Now you can be right. You can be right. Or you can be right, as we talked about on yesterday's show, or you can forget all of the rights, and you can be responsible. Now, the word responsible means I'm going to respond to my ability. What is my ability? I'm a didactic teacher. So what do? I only respond to things that empower my didactic teaching. So I say, hey, Brother Will, we got this great opportunity, brother, for us to, whale farming. We're going to save the whales. We're going to repopulate the ocean with whales because, you know, whoever they killed off all the whales, brother, we need your money. We need your time. We need you, to do a show. We want to talk about, brother, repopulating the ocean with whales. That's awesome, brother. That's good. However, let me check my messianic office because I am not in my messianic office if I do what you ask. I'm only in my messianic office if I do what the Messiah, Yahushua the HaMashiach. I leave my Mashiach when I engage in your act. As long as I'm a part of the Mashiach, I can't be a part of your act. The devil's job is to use you to get me out of my Mashiach and join your act so that my ass won't be intact. I ain't doing that, homie. I love you. No disrespect, boo-boo. But I'm sorry. I, Well, I ain't sorry, but I can't do that. I know from whence my power comes because I'm in prison. In the supermax prison, the soon as you make a mistake, what if I make a mistake? And let me tell you a true story. In prison, you never open two doors at the same time. One of my buddies, he opened two doors, part A, part B, rival gang, at the same time. What happened? Bloodbath. In prison, you cannot afford to make mistakes. In real life, you cannot afford to make mistakes. And the mistakes that we make is not knowing our office or getting out of office. You got one job only. Getting office. That's called diakonia. That's it. Find you and do you. That's it. That's worth and value. Worth and value, my brothers and my sisters, is the ability to see who am I supposed to be. I'm supposed to be blank. When I see that, I get worth and value. Number two, once I see I am supposed to be a teacher, I'm supposed to be a didactic teacher of esoteric knowledge. That's how I'm designed. I can do a lot of other stuff. I was a pretty good football player. No, I was pretty good. I was a pretty good insurance agent. I was pretty good. I was a damn good cop because I was a damn good criminal. I was good at 68 different things. But I am the best. I am the only Master Teacher 33. So once I found who I'm supposed to be, based upon whose I am. So who, everybody listening to me, y'all all are part of the Yahuwah camp. You're part of the Morning Star administration, not the Fallen Star demonstration. So y'all can stop demonstrating. I'm not going to be tough, but you need to get out your ego. That means stop doing shizness for other people's pat on the back. You do stuff, you get the attaboy, good boy, you get a little pat on the head like a little monkey. We all do, but we can stop doing that now. Why? We get our praise from the Father. We're all a part of the Messianic age, number one. That means that you're going to be being something in the Messianic age. You're going to be doing something to contribute to the Messianic age. And you're going to be having something that is a benefit for the members of the Messianic kingdom, the Morning Star. That is the three steps that allows you to see your worth and your value that you already got. It's already there, you just can't see it. And the only way you can see it, again, is to number one, be who your Father has designed you to be. Be who you're designed to be. Number two, do what you are designed to do. And number three, have what you are designed to have. Am I designed to have 10 women? No, I am not. Am I designed? Now, I'm a woman. Am I designed to have $1 billion? Am I designed to be Bill Gates? No, I'm not. I am designed to have a lot of money, but I'm not designed to have Cain money. I don't have the mark of Cain. Money don't flow to me like I just wake up and money. The mark of Cain, Cainism is gainism. Are you a 1%? That's the mark of Cain. If you're not a one, everybody listen to this show, you're not a Rockefeller. You're not a Schwarzenegger. You're not a Kennedy. You're not a 1%. That's why you listen to this show. If you were listening to the show, you would own the whole system that I'm using to do this show. But you don't have the mark of Cain. You got to do just like me. You got to get up every day. You got to find your dear Canil, your destiny. You got to come up with a scam or a scheme. You got to do something in order to generate capital. You just don't wake up and capital was given to you. You don't have that mark. So therefore, you got to do something in order for you to, three, have something. That is worth and value. Worth and value is the ability to know whose you are. That means an established who you are. Who you are establishes what you do. You will never see an auto mechanic working on or doing, you know, zoology, because that's not who they are being. If you are being an auto mechanic, you should be doing what auto mechanics do so you can have what auto mechanics have. I am part of the Morningstar administration. Therefore, I need to be doing Morningstar administration. I need to be being a part of the Morningstar so I can do Morningstar stuff so I can have what everybody else has as part of the Morningstar. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. I may do a couple of shows on this Metro Gray stuff. People have been asking me about it. The current is from March the 21st, 22nd through April. So we may talk about Mercury retrograde before we jump into the series that starts on April the 2nd. Again, cost for non-members is $50 early registration. For members, $25 for early registration to join me on the next series that we're going to continue breaking down photon injection. The title of the next series is going to be Quantum Fusion Induction State. If your mind is not fused together to produce what they call induction, not going to be good for you. So the next series, we're going to break down the physics of what that means, along with the Bible. Remember, we always add science and spirituality. We're going to break that down in the next series. Starts April the 2nd. Make that donation today. So brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. As always, my brother, as always, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others, cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home, cause you're the entity that made them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters wanna give me the me mug, because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweeping under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. It's yours. It's yours. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
I'm back up on my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. And say you